From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. Okay, everybody, grab your cowboy hats, because this Thursday, New York Times bestselling author Craig Johnson will be in Boise, and he'll be presenting for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at BSU. He is the author of the well-known Longmire Mystery Series, which has won multiple awards, and it was made into a hit Netflix show. And we're lucky enough to have him join us today. Craig, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So for those who may not be familiar with your series, can you give us a brief introduction to your main character, Walt Longmire?
That's pretty simple. Look at it. It's actually Walt Longmire is the sheriff of the least populated county in the least populated state in America, which happens to be Wyoming. And it was a point in time, I guess, about 20 years ago, like that, creeping up on 20 years ago, where I thought, you know, everything seemed like it was all noir. It was all very urban, alcoholic detectives burying bodies in their backyards. And I thought, well, what if you did something a little bit different? What if you did something like the sheriff of the least populated county? Maybe that would be something a little bit different. And that kind of launched me on my way. Viking Penguin picked up the first book in the series, The Cold Dish. And by, I think it was about the sixth book in the series, Warner Brothers came and knocked on the door and said, we'd like to make a TV show out of it, which I kind of questioned the validity and logic of that. But, you know, I said, really, you want to make a TV show out of the sheriff of the least populated county and the least populated state? And they said, yes, we do. Look at it. And so, and we kind of have been off to the races ever since then. Like at the books have been on the New York Times bestsellers list pretty much every year. And the television show, like it was the highest rated scripted drama on its basic cable network, and then switched over to this, you got to keep in mind, this was 10 years ago, this newfangled thing called Netflix. Yeah. Like, we did three seasons on Netflix, and we're still trending practically every week, you know, on Netflix, which is really, really kind of amazing.
So my understanding is you did not start your career as a writer. So I'm curious about what inspired you to start writing.
You know, like I came from a family of storytellers, and I was the worst one. Everybody in my family were really good at telling stories, like, and I just didn't have the knack. And so I started thinking about it as I got older, like, and I thought, well, maybe if you wrote them down, maybe that would be a way of, you know, being able to tell these stories, like you'd have a little bit more insight, you know, and putting them together and all of that, like that. And then, but I've been wanting to be a writer is kind of like wanting to be an astronaut. The odds against you are so great, you should just shut up and not tell anybody. and so I really kind of kept it to myself like that. And so built my ranch here in Wyoming, in New Cross, Wyoming, population 26. I got my ranch all up and built, and my wife had a business she wanted to start up like it. And so I got it all up and going like it. And then I sat down and I thought, okay, it's time for you to write this book. And that was the first Walt Longmire book, the Cold Dish. Like it, and Viking Penguin are the ones that set me aside and said, "Hey, we think you should think about doing this as a series. We think that people, you know, are going to want to see more of these characters in this place." And it looks like they were right. I argued with them at first, but it looks like they were right.
Okay, I want to go back to what you just said about where you live, New Cross, Wyoming. You said population 26 people. I have a couple of questions.
You're talking like there
aren't
places like that in Idaho, and I know there are places like that in Idaho. So,
well, I'm sure there are, but okay.
You just take that incredulity out of your voice when you say that.
All right. Okay.
No, it really, it's kind of wonderful like that. I mean, I laugh about it like that because I tend to refer to it as the crown jewel of the UCLA area, which would be New Cross, Claremont, Leiter, and Arvada. And if you put all those towns together, you have almost 250 people. But it's actually kind of nice like that because it provides a focus, you know, for me. You know, whenever I'm out on the road, I do spend an awful lot of time out on the road like that with the television show and then with the books. And then also the books have been translated into like about, you know, 20 some languages like it. And so I do a lot of foreign tours. As a matter of fact, the week I get after I get done being over there in Boise, I'm going to take off and I'll be in France for like about 3 weeks like that because the books are extraordinarily popular over there. And don't ask me why that is. I have no idea. If somebody were to tell me that these books about the sheriff of the least populated county and the least populated state are going to be a runaway hit in a foreign country, maybe France wouldn't have been the first guess that I would have come across with like that. But I get to go to all these amazing places, including Boise, I might add, like that, because, you know, I get to go to all these amazing places like that. But, you know, then it's nice to be able to come home and have to focus on the writing that I desperately need like that. But I really am looking forward to this trip to Idaho this week, because generally when I come into Boise to rediscover books, whenever I'm on tour, mm-hmm. I get to come in for one day and then I'm gone like that. And so I'm really looking forward to having a little bit of time to kind of prowl around and see. One of the big things I'm into is Basque restaurants like that.
Oh, and, okay. Well then.
You guys are like the epicenter, you know, the culinary epicenter of Basque cooking. And I'm looking forward to like bouncing around in a few of those this week.
Well, yeah, you have to go to Ansach. You have to go to the Basque Market. You have to go to Barganica. I mean, those Absolutely. Are the three, like you have to make sure you hit. But here's the thing. I was as you were talking about the 26 people in your town, what mm-hmm. got me thinking is you either have to like everyone or maybe not like everyone, because my street alone, I think there are like 24 people. And I have uh-huh. to say, I don't know everyone on my street, but I choose to keep it that way.
Right. No, I've literally been in elevators that had more people than my town. Like, but yeah, I mean, the thing is it's a ranching community. Like, and so, you know, it's not like, you know, there are a lot of people hanging around on street corners or, you know, sitting on stoops, you know, doing sing-alongs like that. Generally, everybody's working working very, very hard according to what time of year. And so, you know, everybody sees everybody, you know, whenever we have like, you know, Christmas get togethers, you know, whenever mm-hmm. we have brandings, whenever we have calvings, you know, that type of thing like that. But as a general rule, that's kind of, I think it's just it's the American West. You know, there are two ways of looking at it. First of all, it can be a very isolated kind of a lifestyle like that. But then again, you know, when people do need each other, you know, you can scratch that veneer of civilization and, you know, you really need it. I mean, you know, I always laugh about, you know, the old quotes about the American West, how every man's a man and takes care of himself and don't need anybody else or anything like that. And I'm like, yeah, no, you don't live in a ranching community, do you? Like that. I mean, anybody right. that's got a horse and a rope, like it has a part-time job at least twice a year like that. And so, you know, community is stretched a little bit thin. And in my theory, like that, it becomes even that much more important. And so that kind of became an important aspect as far as the books were concerned, because, you know, mm-hmm. Walt was a sheriff. And, you know, people are entrusting him with, you know, probably one of the most important things that they have, you know, in our society, which is their vote. And so they have a connection to him like that. And so he has a connection to that community, like an ensemble of characters that makes it very easy to write these books, I have to admit.
And you have, what, 18, I think soon to be 19 books in this series. I mean, how do you then take, you know, your ideas and work them into a plot lines to be able to keep propelling Walt, you know, and this and his life?
Well, you know, I've got a couple of statements I always make, which is the one thing I don't ever want to do is I don't want to ever have Walt on a cruise ship. I don't want to ever have Walt, you know, chasing Al-Qaeda in Crook County or something like that. For me, like, one of the really strong aspects of the writing the books is this, that one of the dirty little secrets is that just about all of the books tend to come, you know, from local media like that, whether it's, you know, local television stations, radio stations, like at newspapers, things like that. And what that does is it kind of keeps the books grounded in a reality. The last two books have dealt a lot with murdered, missing Indigenous women, which is a real scourge, you know, here in Indian country. And, you know, we have this thing called, you know, Longmire Days, where we have all of the actors, of course, come up to Buffalo, Wyoming. And I think it's coming up towards the end, I think the 26th or so of July. Like it, and we were fortunate enough. I mean, all the profits, you know, go to, you know, different, you know, charitable organizations. And last year, I think we gave away $40,000 to the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women's Resource Center. But, you know, it just keeps the books very, you know, tied into a reality of the world in which I live. I mean, you know, my ranch is just to the south of the Northern Cheyenne and the Crow Reservation, you know, and so it's very important that they be a part, you know, the storylines, and that that there be a reality here, that, you know, it would be absolutely horrible. Like if you were to come here to Ucross, Wyoming, look around and go, this is nothing at all like what's in Craig Johnson's books. That would be horrifying for me. So,
yeah. No, that's so true, right? So I'm interested in knowing what it's been like to see these books, you know, come to life in these television series. As you said, I know that the Netflix series ended in 2017, but what was that like to see, you know, these characters that you created, and then all of a sudden you have an actor who's bringing this character to life. I mean, does it meet your expectations?
Well, my wife says that Robert Taylor is like a TV version of me, taller, better looking, with a better voice. Like it. So I don't know how I feel about that. Like that, but yeah, no. I think the only way that I can describe what it's like is it's almost like coming downstairs in the morning and having a house plant on the table start talking to you. It's wow. Really kind of weird, like that, but really kind of wonderful too. Like that, to see all those things, you know, kind of come to life. Like it, and it's always going to be an interpretation. It's always going to be a little bit different than, you know, what exactly it is that you have on the written page. And it's very difficult to compare a 42, you know, page teleplay to a, you know, a 400 page book. There's always going to be a lot more material, you know, within the books like that. But then again, you know, Hollywood does have certain advantages as far as what you just mentioned, movie stars, you know, wardrobe, location, you know, all of these things like that, that they have going for them. But it's just, you know, two separate but equal universes, which is really kind of nice. And I had some conversations, you know, with some other authors who had motion pictures and television, you know, stuff done with their material. And they were like, you know, boy, they're going to write you a check and you're going to be lucky if you even recognize what you see, you know, when it finally gets up on the screen. But my experience was very, very different. Like that, we had some very acute producers and directors and actors and everybody. And they really, really, really wanted to make sure that it was done and done correctly. So I was a lot more involved, I think, than the majority of authors are in these kind of situations like that. And it was very interesting. It was very interesting, even to the point where by they got to season six, they had me do a cameo role as an undertaker. So I had my little 15 seconds of fame, like I had to go along with it too.
So what's next for you?
I have all kinds of ideas, all kinds of other books that I'm working on like that. But for me, it's always going to be about the Walt books. You know, I'm kind of been amazed myself like at after 19 years, because I was very concerned about, you know, going to the well one time too many with these characters like that. But, you know, I'm working on the 20th book right now. I'm on like the 14th chapter of the 20th book. And it just seems like it's become so easy, you know, for me to write these books. I mean, you know, obviously there are certain, you know, aspects of the storylines like that that require a little bit more attention, a little bit more research. But as a general rule, like, I'm still having a blast almost 20 years later. Like, and I don't see me stopping anytime soon, I have to be honest.
Well, that is such a gift. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. This has been a real pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm looking forward to being in Boise. I'm looking forward to the Osher talk. I'm looking forward to the event at Rediscovered Books on Friday night and doing the keynote for the Idaho Writers Guild. Like that. So I'm going to do all the jobs I can while I'm over there. Have everybody get their money's worth. I promise.
Well, and we will love having you here. So thank you so much. We've been talking with New York Times bestselling author Craig Johnson. As he mentioned, he will be at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Boise State University this Thursday, May 18th, starting at 4:30 p.m. But then, of course, Rediscovered Books and the Writers Guild Conference as well. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.